Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before I do get started today, I want to remind you, please vote for us in the Podcast Awards, podcastawards.com. You help make us finalists, and now your daily votes can help us win. Remember, vote every day, podcastawards.com. This program, in this particular episode of the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, is recorded in loving memory of the great Alan Young, who passed away at the age of 96. Mr. Young was a great actor, comedian during the golden age of radio, and he went on to have a fantastic voice acting career, continuing even into his 90s. And we will talk more about him after we the program. But now it is time for today's episode of The Avenger. The original air date, March the 14th of 1946, and the title is Death Meets the Boat.
The Avenger.
The road to crime ends in a trap that justice sets. Crime does not pay.
The Avenger, sworn enemy of evil, is actually Jim Brandon, a famous biochemist. Through his numerous scientific experiments, Brandon has perfected several inventions to aid him in his crusade against crime as the Avenger. Most remarkable of these inventions is the highly secret diffusion capsule, which cloaks him in the black light of invisibility. Brandon's assistant, the beautiful Fern Collier, is the only one who shares his secrets and knows that he is the man the underworld fears as the Avenger. And now, The Avenger and Death Meets the Boat.
I love meeting boats, Jim. I'm glad you decided to come down to welcome your old friend, Dr. Ludlow, home.
Well, he's been in Australia doing research for 3 years, Fern. I'm eager to have a talk with him.
Oh, there's something thrilling about a boat that's just landed from far-off places. Look at all these people, Jim. Every single one of them looks excited and happy.
You're an incurable romanticist, Fern. Oh, there's Dr. Ludlow.
With a crowd of reporters around him.
Oh, I suppose we ought to wait until the interviews are over before we barge in, huh?
Well, Dr. Ludlow isn't the only celebrity aboard. There's the cameraman taking pictures of a pretty girl. Let's walk over and watch them.
All right, Fern.
Do you think she's a movie star, Jim?
I haven't the faintest idea. That big hat she's wearing hides part of her face.
Okay, Miss Austin, that's fine. Now, just one more shot. Suppose you hold on to the rail with one hand and pretend you're waving to someone with the other.
You mean like this?
Swell, swell. Hold it, Miss Austin. Oh, thank you. Now, a few questions, if you don't mind.
Well, I...
Is this your first trip to the States?
Why, no, I was born here. But I've lived in Australia since I was six.
I see. How long do you plan to stay?
Indefinitely. I intend to settle down here.
Pardon me, but you're Miss Claire Austin, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm Copley, miss.
Oh, the chauffeur?
Yes, miss. I was with your late father for more than 10 years.
Well, I'm glad you've come, Copley. I was beginning to wonder if anyone was going to meet me.
What about your luggage, miss?
Well, it's all through the customs. You can put it in the car. I'll show you where it is.
Oh, Miss Austin, thanks a lot for those pictures. I'd like to interview you for a feature story later. Will you be in town for a while?
I think so. Goodbye.
Goodbye, and look for your picture in the Morning Herald tomorrow.
I will. Jim, ask that reporter who she is.
Okay, Fern. You do hate to miss a celebrity, don't you?
Hurry, ask him. He's getting ready to leave.
Say, Scoop.
Yeah?
Who is that young lady?
Oh, that was Claire Austin.
Claire Austin?
Yeah, the gal that's going to hurt the Austin Millions when she comes of age in 2 days. Swell looking dish, isn't she?
Copley, I understood that Mr. Hayden, my father's lawyer, He'll be waiting for me at my townhouse.
No, he's spending the weekend at his lodge in the country, Miss Clare. He asked me to drive you directly out there.
Well, we could have unloaded some of this luggage in town.
Well, frankly, miss, that never occurred to me. I thought you'd rather come out here direct from the boat.
Well, how much further is this lodge?
We'll be there in half an hour.
Is that the lodge just ahead there, Copley?
Yes, miss. I'll signal them we're coming.
This certainly is a secluded spot.
Yes, miss. It's a sort of hideaway.
Hideaway?
Well, what I mean is it's quiet and restful, miss. Here we are. We'll have to get out on that side, miss. There's a high fence over here.
All right.
Now, this way. I'll get someone to help me with the luggage.
Well, hello, Miss Austin. Welcome to the States.
Well, thank you. I suppose you're Mr. Hayden, my lawyer?
No. Come in and I'll explain myself. Tell me, did you have a good trip?
Yes, thank you. Where is Mr. Hayden, please?
All in good time, Miss Austin. To be quite frank, there's been a slight change in plans.
Well, I should think so. I expected to meet Mr. Hayden in town. Don't tell me we've driven all the way out here.
Oh,
and
why don't you put her wise, Gus? We're wasting time.
Yes, I guess we are at that.
Copley, what is all this? Who is this man?
Never mind that. All you need to know, Miss Austin, is that you've been kidnapped.
Kidnapped?
Now, if you'll just do what we say.
But I won't. I'm getting out of here.
Grab her, Copley.
Here, take it easy, Miss
Austin.
Let me go. Now, you better do what Gus tells you to. Otherwise,
Let me go.
Her in the next room, Copley, and put these bracelets on her hands and feet.
No!
Now, some in there.
Yes, everything's set. Get the same in there.
Okay, Pete. Tell me everything you know about Stamford's death.
Well, Mr. Brandon, he was alive here in the dark room when I went to lunch around noon.
Uh-huh. What was he doing when you left?
Developing the pictures he took this morning for tomorrow's paper.
Is there any way to find out if Stamford had a visitor, Pete?
No, those back stairs are the only way in and out of this dark room. They lead right out to the street.
Oh. Now, there's no connecting door into the newspaper office.
No, sir.
Well, what do you think happened to Stamford, Pete?
I figure he broke that bottle of acid accidentally, and the fumes overcame him, and he fell as he hit his head against the corner of that shelf.
Uh-huh. Almost too simple, isn't it?
Well, that must have been the way it happened. The bottle of acid is broken, and Stamford has a big lump on his head.
Pete, would Stamford have a list of the pictures he was developing?
Oh, sure, he'd have a list of each series of plates.
Where are they?
Oh, there, that sheet of notepaper on that spike. He only took two sets of pictures so far today.
Let me see it, will you, please?
Oh, here.
Mm-hmm. First six plates, opening of New Market. Are all six of those plates here, Pete?
Yeah, here they are. He must have been working on those when he passed out.
Okay. Next, four plates on board boat.
Nope, can't find those.
Now make sure, Pete.
No, they're not here, Mr. Brandon.
Now, who do you suppose would want to steal four perfectly beautiful shots of Miss Clare Austin?
What's that, Mr. Brandon?
Oh, never mind, Pete. Give me a little more light over here, will you? I want to take another look at this bump on Stamford's head.
Well, here, I'll focus this desk lamp on him.
Oh, thanks.
You knew Stamford, didn't you, Mr. Brandon?
Well, I saw him on the boat this morning. Say, the position of this bump is mighty odd.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, if Stamford hit his head against that shelf, the lump would have to be toward the back of his head. This lump's right on top.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of it?
Well, I'd say he was hit from the rear by a blackjack.
Say.
I'll call the doctor in on this right away. But I think he'll agree with me that Stamford was murdered. Claire Austin's townhouse, Fern. Now, I'll wait here in the car while you play reporter and try to get an interview.
But, Jim, you say you don't suspect Claire Austin of murdering Stamford, so why should we waste time on her?
Those stolen plates bearing Miss Austin's picture are the only clue we have, Fern. Maybe they tie up in some way with a motive for this murder.
How many days' grace did the Herald give you?
3. I promised them a scoop if they'd call it an accident that long.
Then you don't want me to mention anything to Miss Austin about Stanford's death?
No. Keep the interview general. Try to find out if she has any friends or enemies in this country. What she plans to do when she inherits her money and things like that, you know. It's just possible that someone is trying to blackmail her.
All right, I'll do my best. But I still think we're barking up the wrong tree, Jim.
Here's your camera. Study her reactions when you ask to take some pictures.
Okay.
Don't miss a thing, Fern. The woman's touch is what we need in this. Fern, what happened? I wasn't expecting you back so soon.
Jim, start driving, quick.
Fern, what is it? You're shaking like a leaf.
Jim, that girl in there posing as Claire Austin isn't the same girl we saw on the boat.
What?
I knew you wouldn't believe me, but she isn't.
Well, what makes you think so?
Well, I'll admit she looks exactly like her, and she sounds exactly like her, but it's not the same girl.
Now, Fern...
It's not, Jim. I can tell by her fingernails.
Her fingernails?
Yes. That girl on the boat had very short nails. I remember thinking that she looked as though she bit them. I got a good look at her left hand when Stanford had her wave in our direction.
Well, go ahead.
Well, that girl inside there has nails as long as an Oriental dancer.
Oh, Fern, I hate to dampen your enthusiasm over your great discovery, but Claire Austin has had 5 hours to put on artificial nails since that boat docked this morning.
But they're not artificial, Jim. I asked her.
Well, if that's the case, we've got a motive. That girl could be posing as Claire Austin to collect Claire's inheritance.
But what happened to Claire?
I don't know. But I think we'd better get in touch with Neil Hayden at once.
Oh, yes. He's the lawyer in charge of the Austin case, isn't he?
Yes.
Jim, all this adds up to the fact that the real Claire may have been kidnapped, doesn't it?
I'm afraid it does, Fern. And if we can't locate her before midnight tomorrow when she comes of age, she'll be in danger of her life. And that's the story, Neil. As the lawyer in charge of Miss Austin's estate, I hope you can delay the transfer of the property until we can find the real Claire.
Well, now, I can't hold back the clock, Jim. At midnight tomorrow, control of the Austin millions passes into Claire's hands automatically.
But surely there's something we can do, Mr. Hayden. We can't just stand by and let the real Claire be killed and this imposter inherit her money.
Fern, I don't think Neil is much impressed with the story we've just told him. What about it, Neil?
Well, frankly, Jim, it sounds utterly fantastic. The length of a girl's fingernails is pretty slim evidence upon which to base a case of this magnitude. Now, I'd need something more to go on than that.
Well, if you can arrange for me to have a talk with this girl,
yeah.
I think I can find out whether she's the real Claire or not.
All right. I've arranged a little birthday party for her tonight. I'll take you along.
Fine. Oh, only remember, don't let her know I'm a detective.
I never think of you as a detective, Jim. To me, you're a scientist who sometimes dabbles a bit in criminology.
You know, I don't think you intended that as a compliment.
Well, what about me? Don't I get invited to the party?
Oh, I'm afraid not, Fern. Miss Austin thinks you're a reporter, remember?
Well, Jim, have you managed to talk with Miss Austin yet?
No, I haven't. That fellow Merkel over there is monopolizing her. Who is he, Neil?
Merkel?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Claire invited him, said he was an old friend. An importer, I think she said.
Merkel, never heard of him. Suppose we wander over and break up their little tete-a-tete, huh?
All right. But I sincerely hope your hunch is wrong, Jim.
So do I. Uh-oh, Merkel sees us coming.
Uh-huh.
He's moving away.
Well, here's your opportunity, Jim. Oh, Claire.
Yes, Mr. Hayden?
Mr. Brandon is eager to have a chat with you about Australia. You know, he spent some time there himself.
Oh, really? What part of Australia, Mr. Brandon?
New South Wales, mostly. You come from Sydney, don't you?
Yes, that's right. Did you spend much time there?
No, I didn't. My travels took me farther inland. I was doing a little exploring.
I see.
You know, we Americans are always interested in the animals of Australia. The dodos, great auks, and wombats are fascinating.
Yes, they are. And don't forget the kangaroos. We're frightfully proud of those.
Yes, but as pets, the wombats are more amusing.
Aren't they, though?
I suppose you owned one.
Oh, yes, a darling one. I'm arranging to have it sent over here as soon as I get settled.
Oh, excuse me, Claire, but the Websters are leaving. I thought you'd like to speak to them.
Thank you, Mr. Merkel.
Not at all.
Excuse me, Mr. Brandon, Mr. Hayden.
Of course, certainly, Claire. Well, Jim, as far as I could see, Miss Austin seemed to pass that examination all right.
On the contrary, Neil. That girl has been carefully coached, but she's never seen Australia.
Some party. You mean to tell me that's what the millionaires call having a good time?
I'm afraid you'll have to get used to it, Thelma.
I will not. As soon as I come into that money, Gus Merkel, I'm going away on a long vacation.
We'll talk about that later. Oh, that must be Coakley. Come in. Have all the servants gone to bed, Coakley?
Sure. I waited till the coast was clear.
Okay. Now, let's get down to business. First of all, what was that guy Brandon talking about tonight, Thelma?
Australia. He's traveled there.
What?
Ah, don't worry, Gus. I handled him all right. I let him do all the talking. I just followed suit with the generalities.
Okay, okay. But steer clear of people like that until your coaching is over. Tomorrow, Thelma, you'll develop a headache and stay in your room all day.
Suits me.
Now, that brings us to the real Claire Austin. If everything goes without a hitch, we've got to get rid of her right after midnight tomorrow.
You should have done that first thing, Gus. Why are you waiting until the last minute to bump her off?
Because there's no point in hanging her murder around our necks until we're sure we pull this job off.
What's the difference? You might just as well be hanged for two murders as one.
Nobody calls Stanford's death murder. Even the paper he worked on called it an accident. I was plenty careful to make it look that way.
Well, who's going to take care of this Austin dame? And how?
Copley, you know the plan. Get yourself up to the lodge tomorrow night and take care of it.
Not me, Gus. That's your job. I only agreed to finger this layout.
You'll do what I say, Copley.
I tell you I won't do it. I can't, Gus. I knew her old man for 10 years.
This isn't the time to turn soft, Copley. From here on in, I'm the boss and you take orders from me.
Not that order.
Oh, then maybe a good mussing up will change your mind. Oh.
Gus, not here.
Here and now. Either he does what I say or I'll lay him out flat. Take your choice, Copley.
All right. Let me alone. I'll do it.
Gus, I'd feel safer about that Austin girl if you took care of her. Copley might get cold feet at the last minute and gum up everything.
Yeah. Yes, I'll have to go with him, I guess, and see that he carries out his assignment.
Jim, don't think I'm not enjoying this lovely ride in the country, but...
But you're dying to know what we're doing out here, right, Fern?
Yes. Why did you stop at that gasoline station back there? You didn't buy any gas.
No, but I got some information.
Jim, please. What's going on?
Well, Fern, here's the way I have things figured out. Copley, the chauffeur, met the real Claire Austin at the boat. 3 hours later, he delivered the phony Claire Austin at her house in town.
Copley was the one who kidnapped Miss Austin then.
Oh, he had to have a hand in it. Probably set up the job for a gang. A thing like this would take some organizing.
But what makes you so sure he brought her way out here?
Neil Hayden had Copley's gas credit card checked for me. And the records show that Copley gassed up at that station back there 3 times within the last few weeks. The station attendant remembers him. Says Copley's car always turned off on this side road we're on now.
Oh, we're looking for the hideaway.
Yes. So keep your eyes peeled, Fern, because our time is running out.
midnight. Maybe this isn't the house at all.
I'm sure it is, Vern. There are two husky fellows guarding the front driveway.
But how do you plan to get inside the house, Jim?
When the criminals arrive, I'll go right in with them as the Avenger.
But what if the criminals should call up the guards here and tell them to kill Claire?
They can't, Vern. There are no telephone wires leading into that house. They'll have to show up in person.
Oh, I'm getting nervous, Jim.
Now, Vern, we can get Miss Austin out of there in a matter of minutes if we follow our plan.
Well, let's go over it again, Jim. I'd never forgive myself if I bungle my end of it.
Well, you won't, Fern. Now, here's the way we'll manage it. The moment I get inside the house, I'll unlock this back window. Miss Austin will come out and join you here. Then you two make tracks through the woods to our car and head straight for town.
What about you, Jim?
I'll join you later. Inspector White and Neil Hayden will meet you in front of Miss Austin's house in town. They'll escort the real heiress inside to face the imposter. They've arrived. I'll go around and join them at the corner of the house as the Avenger.
Good luck, Jim.
Come on, Copley. Let's make short work of this. Wait a minute. What was that noise?
Well, sounded like one of the tires went flat.
Well, get out your flash and take a look. We've got a lot of traveling to do in this car tonight.
Okay. Now, rear tires are all right. Now we'll look at the front ones. Yeah, front ones are all right, too. Nothing wrong here.
You sure?
Sure.
Well, come on, then. Open the front door. All right, Copley. Go into the next room and get the Austin dame. Take the bracelets off her and see that there are no marks where she was fastened to the bed. And don't use the blackjack until we get her in the car.
Why not? It'd be easier.
I want those two guards outside to see her alive when she leaves here. The less they know, the safer we are. Go ahead now, bring her out.
All right.
Oh, come back.
Yes, Miss Austin. We've decided to take you away from here.
Where? Where are you taking me?
Hold still. I'll take these handcuffs off your hands and feet.
Well, that's a relief anyway.
Miss Austin, through that window, quickly.
Who's that? Who's in here?
It's the Avenger, Copley. And this is for you.
Oh.
Hurry, Miss Austin. Through that window. Go with the young lady outside.
All right.
What's going on in there, Copley? Copley, can you...
What happened? Where's the girl? Copley!
He's out cold, Merkel. And here's something for you, too. From the Avenger.
Party is a great success, Jim, even if it is a few days late.
Well, she can thank you for being alive to celebrate it, Vern. You know, if you hadn't noticed Thelma's fingernails, we might never have discovered she was an imposter.
Oh, Jim, you're just flattering me.
No.
The fingernails weren't the only clue you had. What really convinced you that Thelma wasn't Claire?
She failed on the examination I gave her about Australia.
How?
Well, aside from not knowing that the dodo has been extinct since the 17th century... She said she had a wombat for a pet and was bringing it here.
Well, a wombat's a small bear, isn't it?
That's right. But even an Australian school child knows that the wombat can't exist outside the Australian continent.
Oh, what a shame. It sounds like a nice pet.
Wrong again, Miss Collier. The wombat sleeps all day and wanders forth at night in search of food. Now, hardly the general conception of a pet, don't you think?
All right, teacher. Did the real Claire Austin pass that test?
With flying colors. And I'm sure if you really want a wombat for a pet, she'll order one stuffed and sent over by a special plane.
Oh, come on, Jim. Let's dance.
Oh. characters, names, places, and plots used in the Avenger program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is a thought. A thought. A thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of...
The Avenger.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site. We stream live OTR Westerns 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, along with putting out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Well, I think it was great that Vern came up with the clue that really set the case on its course to being solved. It wasn't clue how Jim acted. You know, it's almost like that he's so used to patronizing her that he had to dismiss her observation out of hand. And if she hadn't pushed back, that probably would have been the end of the matter. And it's like at the end of the episode, we still had to put her down for not knowing all about Australian animals. Which is something you should know in Australia, not necessarily so necessary in an American big city. Now we turn to a discussion of Alan Young. Now, to many folks in their 40s and 50s, Alan Young is pretty much remembered as Wilbur Post from Mr. Ed. For people who are my age and perhaps a little bit younger, we can remember Alan Young as the voice of Scrooge McDuck on DuckTales and Mickey's Christmas Carol. But Alan Young really got his start in the golden age of radio, his own sitcom starting in 1944, which was unusual because he was only 24 at the time, and you generally didn't give 24-year-olds their own comedy program at that point. The type of people who had these programs, they were in their, usually in their 40s. Of course, Jack Benny was only 39, but it was a fairly entertaining sitcom, and not one of the very best, but pretty good, and Young had great timing, and he appeared in quite a few other programs, including the Family Theater, and moved on to television, where he did a couple sitcoms prior to doing Mr. Ed. After Mr. Ed, he moved into character acting and a lot of voice acting. He did a lot of Scottish voices for cartoons. And, of course, he did Scrooge McDuck. And I think that I have to say that I really do appreciate the role of Scrooge because, particularly when it came to DuckTales, it was a very well-written part that was fleshed out beyond the cartoons and the original comics because there was a lot of depth to Scrooge as a character. And Young really played that very well. And, of course, he also went on to star in Adventures in Odyssey. Hal Smith, who played Mr. Whitaker, the lead character, Hal Smith died, and he came in and he was essentially a replacement for Mr. Whitaker, playing the role of Jack Allen. And he also played like 8 other roles at different times on the series, including a Scottish intelligence agent. So he was an immense talent, did amazing things for the world of voice and a radio, and I really appreciated his work, and it is definitely sad that he is gone. So rest in peace, Alan Young. You'll definitely be missed. All right, well, that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Defense Attorney, and then a week from tomorrow, The Adventures of Philip Marlowe. And next Tuesday, it'll be another adventure with the Avenger. In the meantime, send your comments to Box13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.